Welcome to the Get Cyber Smart Podcast, your 10-minute foray into this crazy thing we call cyber. I'm your host, Darren Mott, and I appreciate you taking the time with me to educate yourself on cyber, because in this next 10 minutes, you're going to get a little bit cyber smarter and a whole lot cyber safer. So welcome to episode 4 of the Get Cyber Smart Podcast. Again, I appreciate all of you who have taken the time to download and listen. I was looking at my download numbers, and I was pleasantly surprised that there was a huge jump in the numbers over the last week. There's a lot of folks that have listened to episode number 1, What is Cyber? And hopefully they'll come back and listen to episodes 2, 3, 4, and so on. I appreciate you taking the time to listen. If you have told others to listen, I appreciate that too. So this week, I am going to dive a little deeper into the cyber threats. If you remember last week, we talked about what the cyber threats are, and I've briefly talked about the 6 different cyber threats across the cyber spectrum, at least that I would talk about during my time in the FBI when I was going out and talking to victim companies and things like that. And so these next 6 episodes, I'm going to focus on each one of those particular threats a little deeper. So again, you have a little better understanding of what they are. Because again, if you understand the threats that are targeting you, you can assess your risk online and as you use your digital devices, and you can proceed wisely. So without any further ado, let's talk about cyber hacktivism. On my spectrum list, this is all the way to the left, which means it's the least problematic in the sense that most folks listening to this podcast are probably not going to deal with cyber hacktivists a whole lot. Some of you may, some of you may not, it depends. But cyber hacktivists have a very distinct role in our cyber ecosystem in that they are attempting to misuse a computer or the internet by hacking into unauthorized networks to expose a believed injustice. Sometimes people misinterpret cyber hacktivism with cyber terrorism. They're two completely different things. Both groups have some kind of political ideology or some belief that they're trying to push forward. Cyber terrorism does it a little differently than cyber hacktivism. So hacktivism is essentially, like I said, the misuse of a computer or internet to expose a believed injustice. And these could be politically motivated injustices, socially motivated injustices, or religiously motivated injustices. And in a sense, you know, who do they target? Who are these hacktivists looking for? Largely, they are targeting government agencies, large corporations, or powerful individuals. Are cyber hacktivists going to be targeting you individually? Chances are they're not. Now, if you are the CEO of GE, then yes, they probably are looking for you. Because they are looking to push their ideology to make a point. So the motivation is largely altruistic for public good. And I'll talk about some of the more well-known hacktivist groups here towards the end, but essentially they think they're doing the right thing. Just the method that they do it is not necessarily right, because anytime you gain access to a computer network that you do not have authorization to do, you've committed a crime in the United States. Other countries may be a little different, but for the most part, unauthorized access to a computer network is not a good thing, regardless of your motivations. So, you know, there are really 10, and I'm getting, so some of this I am pulling from a Norton report. So is this my own information? No, but there's a lot of people who've done research into all these things. So why not use them? So this is Norton, the company that does the Norton antivirus. So they list here 10 hacktivism attack types and the general motivation behind each. So there's web page defacement, website redirects, website mirroring, DDoS, which is denial of service, virtual sit-ins, anonymous blogging to point out stuff, leaks. And probably the worst thing they do is doxing, where they get information about people, their addresses, their contact information, personal identifiable information, and they release it online. This is probably what you've seen the most if you follow any kind of news regarding hacktivism, and doxing is the number one thing. But all of these things have their own issues. And again, they are largely there to, you know, essentially put out information about aggrievements that they have, injustices that they're trying to deal with. So the 6 most notable hacktivist groups, the first one, the Cult of the Dead Cow, was established in 1984. It claims its goal was to protect human rights and the freedom of information. Some of those guys from the Cult of the Dead Cow have gone on to be cyber experts within the government, things like that. Another one is not so much U.S.-based, but it's the Syrian Electronic Army. Their goal was to protect Syria and its president. They did a lot of criminal activity as well. So there's kind of it's a little thing here where I would say that their activity crosses some lines is in the sense of being clearly hacktivist and clearly criminal. WikiLeaks, you've all heard of WikiLeaks, obviously, and their goal was to expose social and political injustices. And again, the way they do it violates laws in certain countries, so obviously the United States, with some of the exposures they've listed out there with Julian Assange, the leader or the runner of WikiLeaks. Edward Snowden published a lot of the stuff that he stole from the NSA through WikiLeaks. So, you know, obviously there's a combination there of espionage, insider threat, and hacktivism all rolled up into one with WikiLeaks. But WikiLeaks is the hacktivist part of that. Probably the two most famous over the course of the last 20 years in the sense of making the most headlines are Anonymous and Lulzsec. They are somewhat interchangeable, not saying completely interchangeable. A lot of these groups do share commonalities and things like that, but Anonymous's goal was to achieve internet transparency. Lulzsec's goal was to strengthen privacy protection. So both kind of the same thing. And they did a lot of doxing, a lot of web page defacements over the course of their time. And so the sixth most, one of the more popular ones, and this is not quite as popular as the rest, but DKD, and their goal was to promote political views. So most activist groups want to be anonymous. Some are widely recognized, and they adopt the acronym as their name. But, you know, there's a lot that are quiet. I remember back in the 2000s, there was a webpage called attrition.org that would publish daily webpage defacements. And it was really quite fascinating if you wanted to ever see, you know, how hacktivism was really working back in the early days of the internet. Attrition.org was the place to go. I don't believe it's up anymore. I'm trying to actually go to it right now as I'm talking. But it should be an archive site. So if you wanted to go look at, if you could find archives for it. And there's some other stuff on there, but it's no longer the same site it was 20 years ago with the hosting of defaced web pages. But so how do you deal with hacktivists? If you are, again, this is going to largely be targeted towards corporations. So they're going to want to get information on websites or commit denial of service attacks, things like that. So how do you deal with it? Your IT staff should be able to deal with most of the things that most of these hacktivist groups can do. Once they get into stealing personal information, they have transited the gap between hacktivist and criminal. And so really, they may have their goal still may be hacktivist related, but if they steal personal information and publish it, they've created a criminal act as well. So they kind of cross into that particular realm, which puts them in a whole different category, if you will. And so, but as individuals, hacktivism is probably not something you will deal with on a regular basis. But if you see news reports about cyber hacktivism, about some of these groups or someone doing a denial of service, chances are it's a hacktivist group. So ideally, at the end of the day, you'll now have a better understanding of what that means, what it is, and why you need to worry about it. Next week, we'll talk about cybercrime. That'll be a little deeper conversation because it's something most of us will have or will deal with. And it's funny, just as a preview to that, my Cyber Guy podcast this week, I actually had got online and talked to a scammer. He didn't know I was recording him, nor did he know I was doing this for that preacher. But go take a look, listen to that podcast if you're so inclined, the Cyber Guy podcast. That'll come out later this week. So with that, I thank you for your time listening. As always, if you have any thoughts or comments on this podcast or any information you'd like down the line, I will do special episodes in the middle. If there's a lot, people have a lot of questions about certain things, I will certainly do that for you. Feel free to email me, Darren@cybersmart.com. Cyber is spelled C-Y-B-U-R. So as you go through your week, know knowledge is protection. And by spending this 8 or 9 minutes with me this week, you've not only gotten a little cyber smarter, you've gotten a whole lot cyber safer. Tell your friends to listen if you think it would be valuable to them. Spread the word. I appreciate those who have done that so far. Thank you again for listening. We'll talk to you next week.